All right, let's go to a good friend, and that is Bruce Jenkins, brought to us by Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. And, of course, we look through the window of baseball, and that window is Marvin Windows. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Marty, how are you?
Very good, very good. I went to Rennell's birthday party last night. This is out of my routine, you know that.
Yeah, I'm sure you had a good time.
Oh, it was great. And, you know, she's terrific. And what a baseball fan. And, you know, just her energy, it knows no limit. It really is pretty good.
She's really terrific. I was kind of skeptical about the idea of a woman announcer. I don't know, it's stupidly, just because of what I'm used to. But, I mean, she is absolutely great. You become used to a certain kind of voice at the ballpark, but she is now absolutely that voice, and it's just terrific. Like I say, her energy is boundless, and she's just such a great presence.
Yeah, and you know the other thing is, I go to other parks, and you hear some of the announcers. There's no energy. You know, it's just different. I said, boy, if Rennell was here, this would be different. And of course, Sherry Davis preceded her, and Sherry did a nice job.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that was good.
It's funny because at Dodger Stadium, they had the great John Ramsey for years. That was the voice I grew up with, this big, deep, booming voice. And they've had several in the wake of his passing, and they all sound like him. They've been trying to recapture that voice ever since, which it really can't be done.
Wow. Hey, we had a caller, Sam. I don't know if you heard him. He calls every week and talks to the ref. He said, when Bruce Jenkins comes on, I want you to ask him about Frank Sinatra. What kind of guy was he? Was he a baseball fan? So, Sam, this is for you. Bruce, give me a little Frank Sinatra.
Well, it's not easily answered. I mean, he could be the best guy in the world and the worst. And he was both quite often. All I can say is that because of his relationship with my father, they did 8 albums together, which my dad arranged, composed, and conducted. I composed some of the songs, but arranged all of them and conducted the band. I got a one-on-one interview with Sinatra back in 1990, and boy, you talk about a special day. I mean, yeah. he was at his very best. He told me fantastic stories about my dad. He got a little emotional. There were tears in his eyes to think that my dad was gone. And I walked out of there thinking, geez, now I got to go back and talk to Will Clark. Or it was the highlight of my journalistic career. I was doing all kinds of reporting on my father's life, talking to everybody I possibly could. But that was, you know, obviously the centerpiece and the hook of the book that I wrote. And, I mean, he was just to be in the presence of this guy, he's royalty. He's the king. And
baseball fan?
Oh, yeah, big Dodger fan, big presence at Dodger Stadium, especially in the 60s, you know, the Koufax years. I had a tape of some outtakes from a recording session they did, and as they broke one tune, it wasn't happening, they were sort of regrouping, and you can hear Sinatra talking about Koufax's game last night, which is pretty great. But and, you know, out in a public setting, somebody might walk up to his table and say, my wife's in love with you, you son of a gun, and then a fight breaks out. And, you know, so, I mean, there's a lot to the man, but I can only say the experience I had and that my dad had, which he told me about, was always very, very rich and incredibly, incredibly professional.
Oh, beautiful. That's for Sam up in Napa. And, of course, Bruce talking about his dad, Gordon Jenkins. And the book was terrific. Can you still get the book?
Yeah. Pretty sure it's still on Amazon. I've also got a bunch of copies that I distribute out of the house. It's an easy email, since I'm at the Chronicle, bjenkins@sfchronicle.com. I'd be glad to help you out there. But the last I saw, Amazon did have them.
Oh, beautiful. All right, today, Mariano Rivera Day, Andy Pettit retires, and reminds me of the old story of Bill Rigney. I think Rigney hit 2 home runs on opening day, and Johnny Mize hit like 3. Or something like that, and Rigney said, "Well,
hit 17."
Yeah, and Rigney said, "All right, I hit 2, and I'm on the back page of the paper because my." So Andy Pettit announces retirement, and you know, the more I look at Andy Pettit, Bruce, and I realize it's the modern era and the layers of playoffs. But he did pitch more starts than anybody, 44, and won more, 19, than anybody. I think that says something about him: 255 wins, 152 losses. And I know Hall of Fame, you know, people look at 300 wins and all that. But you look at a club that won 5 world titles, who's the pitcher in the middle of it? It's this guy. I'm not so sure he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
No, I don't think that he does. And, I mean, 300 wins now, that's going to be awfully hard for anybody to reach. But, you know, I've seen some articles in the New York papers, you know, from some of the big columnists that sort of ruling him out because of the HGH association that he had. But I've never gone that way. I've always voted for the guys who were the best in their era, as difficult as it may be. I mean, it's just you just can't dismiss great things that happened and pretend that they didn't. Absolutely. I think what we said yesterday, he was the Whitey Ford of his day. He was the guy who got the big starts in the World Series and won a whole bunch of them. I mean, in 96, he had a game in Atlanta that really launched that whole Yankee, mini dynasty. So, absolutely, a workhorse, and he's got the numbers and the reputation. So the one thing that's going to hold him back is that drug association, so we'll see how that comes out.
Yeah, but for this guy, you know, he was so consistent over all the years.
Yeah, exactly. I just refuse to believe he was juiced up for, 17 years.
Right. Yeah,
he knew Roger Clemens pretty well, and I think they did a little experimenting together, but who knows?
Yeah, and also, he came back. I mean, he wasn't 37 years old and throwing 98.
Right.
You know,
he's
been Andy Pettit his whole career.
Exactly right. And what is he, 40, 41 now?
He is now, 41.
And he'll probably pitch a gem today, and it's amazing how much is going on around the Yankees. You know, the Jeter thing and Mariano Rivera and Ichiro, with the 4,000 hits. And there's so many incredibly dignified stories going on there. And yet they're scratching and clawing just to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, just keep looking at that loss column. They got 73, and 70 is what Cleveland's got, and you got a week to do it. It can happen. But,
sure.
Look, if Cleveland falters, somebody's going to catch them. Of this crowd of Kansas City, the Orioles, and the Yankees, someone will catch them. But Tampa Bay's starting to look like, with their pitching, they're solid enough to get it done. So what about the Reds? First of all, how about A.J. Burnett? Struck out a dozen yesterday. He became the first Pirate right-hander in the history of the franchise to strike out 200 in one season.
Oh, my goodness. Is that right?
That's amazing. So the left, Bob Veal, remember Bob Veal with
the lefty.
With the glasses that fogged up, and, he threw 98. He did it four times in the 60s, and Oliver Perez did it 2004. Yeah. They've never had a righty strike out.
No, Bob Friend or Vernon Law.
No, or Steve Blass or anybody. Well, Bob Moose.
Yeah, that's sensational.
Yeah. So
he had that low and in breaking ball. Oh, just a devastating pitch. He's got such a good curveball and slider going, and he's on. He's really tough. But I'm very biased toward the Reds because I'm a big Dusty Baker fan. I know him pretty well, and I always pull for wherever he is. And he's loaded up with Chapman and Hamilton and Votto, and that whole three team thing in the Central is. It's just great right to the end. And I think they play don't the Reds play the Pirates in another series?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
And then they might play each other in the wild card game.
That's
can't get rid of each other.
Right. No, they're not going anywhere because the Cardinals, believe it or not, the Cardinals have this guy Adams. And he got a big hit against the Giants when they were here. He's a very large man. And I could probably beat him in a race, I'll tell you that. But when he swings, 420 feet, dead pull hitter.
Tremendous hitter.
Yeah.
What an asset to have on the club. Because they've had a few injuries, and this guy comes in. You got to deal with him. You make a mistake, boom, it's gone.
Yeah. East Coast teams, Andy was on with us earlier. He said it's nuts around Yankee Stadium with so many people coming today for the duo of Pettit and, of course, Mariano Rivera. He said he's never seen anything like it. Alex will be on with us hopefully around 9 o'clock to update us on that thing. But East Coast, even the Giants, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, they know how to throw a day for somebody.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't it amazing? Those are the days they used to give you a car. They used to bring pigs in. They'd give you a suit. They'd give you a set of dishes. That's what would happen. And this is what a day is all about.
Yeah, and these are teams, especially the Yankees, so much tradition. I was on hand visiting with the A's, just happened to be there for a couple of old-timers' day. And, you're seeing Mickey Mantle come out of the dugout and Billy Martin and Whitey Ford and, oh, my God, just one after another. Fans going nuts, video on the scoreboard. It was just really, really touching. I mean, if you're any kind of fan of baseball history, you just get the chills, and just how fantastic this thing is done. And, you know, the Giants are very good at these things. But there's something about the East Coast, and you're from there, you totally realize this, but it just goes farther back, and there's a different feel in the air back there, you know, having something to do with the weather. But I've always thought that it's a singular experience having something like that happen in Fenway or at Yankee Stadium. It's just very, very special.
Yeah, and Yosmero Petit, look, this guy, 26 up, 26 down. He almost had a perfect game. And today he goes against the Ghosts and all of this at Yankee Stadium. How about that story?
Oh, my goodness. I tell you, if he pitches a great game today, that's really something to take note. Because, you know, the way things are going, Vogelsong there's really not a guarantee any longer that the Giants are going to bring him back. I think they want to, or they might want to restructure the numbers a little bit, but he's a little bit iffy. Gaudin is definitely a little bit iffy. And, you know, Petit can kind of slide in there, at least as a candidate, a guy that they got to look at in spring. And if he follows up what he's done with something great today, you really got to take notice.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for him. Because he's got a chance to. I think he's on the team. It's just a question of how he'll fit in. But Vogelsong yesterday, and Andy talked about it and wrote about it, CSN Bay Area, kind of pitched himself out of $6 million. And he's probably down to one or two and come back and, you know, let's see what you can do. Because as he described him as a right-handed Zito, you know, he's throwing 86 right now. He has a dead arm. Is it because of no spring training and all that? It's hard to say, but. It's tough for them to just hand him $6 million after what he's done.
Yeah, I agree with that. I did read that piece, and you know, there's a notion that they will ask him to come back, but not for $6 million. They'll have to come up with some other kind of guaranteed number. You get quite a bit less, and you can't blame him. I mean, he's not a young guy, and he's had. We all know about the difficulties he's had. How much the World Baseball Classic figured in it? Who knows? I know he doesn't want to use that as an excuse. If he comes back strong next year, they can say, oh, well, you know, no more World Baseball Classic. Everything's going to be great. But there's just no guarantee of that. And, you know, frankly, I'm not sure how many other teams are going to come after him with a big money offer. So
no, they can't.
I wouldn't be surprised if he winds up with the Giants for less money, and we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, I think so. And look, if he got two $300,000 buyout and then a two contract, I'd say – congratulations. I would.
Yeah.
You know, in the afterthought, Barry Zito. Now, Vogelsong's next start would be coming up, I think it's Friday night, against the Padres. You don't really have to see him again. I think we've seen it. Does Zito get a start here over the weekend?
That's a tough one. I mean, part of me says, you know, you make it clear to the Bay Area that Zito's going. And this is going to be it for him, and let's show our gratitude. I'm not sure they do that. It's just kind of, you know, they could finish third. I mean, through all this stuff that's happening, they could actually, you know, not only avoid last place, but aren't they still in that picture?
Yeah, oh sure, the Padres. I mean, they're only a couple of games beyond the Padres,
and that's huge. I mean, the difference between third and last, just for your emotional, you know. The way you feel about yourself in the off season is very big. So, you know, if it reaches a point where a Zito start means a loss, I don't know how they feel about that. I guess bottom line, they'll probably give him a start.
All right.
And I think he certainly deserves a rousing farewell. You just hope that he's not out of the game in the top of the third.
Well, you give the rousing ovation early.
Yeah, exactly.
When he warms up, and then you just hope. Because Lindskum's last start could be Thursday night.
Yeah, it'd be funny. Zito starts and there's like five guys already warming up in the bullpen.
That would be goodbye, good luck. Yeah. Boy, what a story. All right, what's up with you today?
Well, I'm down in Southern California. I went to my best friend's daughter got married yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And I'm holed up in the north of Malibu, of all places. Things could be worse. And I'm going to... try to catch the 49er game here, and then my wife and I will be hitting the road and get back up north.
Now, you drive back?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the way to do it. And then you stop. It's like the movie Sideways, I would imagine. You'd probably do that.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Great movie, yeah.
Right. So,
it takes 8 hours anyway between all the rigmarole you go through.
All right. Now, you got the TiVo going?
Yeah, well, I got the TiVo going back home. Yeah. I taped all the Giants games out of Yankee Stadium. I've seen little snips, but I want to look at them a little harder. And I've got it all going, Marty. The usual deal. Football, you know, I leave into some America's Cup for the races that aren't held each day. And I've got a huge load, let's put it that way, when I get home to catch up on.
What a life. And when I come back in my next life, I want to be you.
I was going to say, gee, I'd like to be Marty Louie when I come back.
All right. Have a good day. Have a safe trip home. Talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot.
All right. That is the great Bruce Jenkins here.